John Walden here. We're studying in the book of Jude. I'd like you to open your Bible to this little book. And we're going to look at seven things which are said about those who are unbelievers and against whom we are warned in this book. This is a book of warning. A book of warning against the men who have wormed their way in, as we read in verse 4, gotten in among God's people, who do not really believe the Bible, who do not believe the Lord, and their lives prove it. We're going to see seven ways in which the lives of unbelievers show that they are not believers. By their fruits ye shall know them, the Lord said. Verse 8 says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. They are called dreamers. The word filthy is in italics, which means that it's not in the original, and it is omitted from the more critical text, the revised versions. Of course, they are filthy, but that isn't the point. The point is that they are dreamers. That is, they are living in unreality. Back in the 28th chapter of Isaiah, and verse 8, we read about a man who was hungry, and he ate in his dream, but he awakened still hungry. This is the way of the world. How many people there are living in unreality, thinking that they're getting something out of life, thinking that this is really living, and they're going to awaken one of these days, and what a sad awakening it will be, because they're just living in a dream. They're not facing things as they really are. You ought to find out for sure where you stand in relation to God. You ought to find out for sure about your future. Don't trust it to some man or to some church. You're responsible to turn to the Word of God and find out for yourself. In the 16th chapter of Luke, our Savior told us about a man who lived sumptuously, enjoyed life, and then he died, and it says, in hell he lifted up his eyes. That is, he awakened in hell. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but I want to tell you that you're responsible to find out for sure about these things. Don't be a dreamer. In the second place, in verse 10, they are called brute beasts. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. A brute beast is simply a beast which is insensible to spiritual things. You may think a great deal of your dog, but when your dog dies, he'll just be dead. There is no doggy heaven. There's no place for animals after death. They're just animals. You and I are not like this. When God made Adam, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And all human beings are going to live forever, exist forever, somewhere. We're not brute beasts. Why should we act like brute beasts? Now, I know that our young people are being taught that our ancestors originally were beasts, and so don't be surprised if you feel like acting a little bit like beasts, and don't let that bother your conscience. This is a wicked thing to teach young people. We are responsible people. We were not made like brute beasts. God made man upright, the book of Ecclesiastes says, yet hath he sought out many inventions. These people are insensible to spiritual things. They may be perfectly sensible to all that's going on around them. They're very alert as to making money and to enjoying the pleasures of life. But so far as God is concerned, they never lift their eyes toward heaven. They're like brute beasts. They even eat their meals that way without even looking up in thanksgiving. In verse 12, they're called spots in your feasts of charity. Spots here is a word which is also translated hidden rocks on which boats might be wrecked. A spot in your feast of charity. Feasts of charity were the times when the Christians got together in the first century and had fellowship together over a meal. And we do this sometime yet, don't we? And yet, even in the midst of this, there may be people who, instead of being an ornament to the grace of God, and we ought to be this, he says that we should adorn the doctrine of the Lord Jesus. Instead of this, you may be just a spot. You may just be a hindrance. This means, of course, a false profession. Notice that these people are feeding themselves without fear. That means that they are thoroughly selfish. Now, selfishness is really the heart of all sin. People steal because they want something that belongs to someone else. They kill because someone is in their road and hindering their purposes. All sins are the result of selfishness. Then these people are called, in verse 12, clouds without water. In the parallel passage in 2 Peter, we read about wells without water. You expect water from a well. You expect water from a cloud. I remember the terrible clouds that came over during the dust storm days in the 30s. And I recall how that we hoped that there might be a little rain. This is unfulfilled promise. A cloud, but no water. A profession of being a child of God, no refreshment for anyone else. Are you genuine? There's a great deal said about hypocrites in the church. Some people say, I never go to church because the people there are all hypocrites. And they know this isn't true. There are hypocrites in the church. There are hypocrites in lodges. There are hypocrites in politics. They're just hypocrites. Many people, in fact, all of us at some time or another, are hypocritical. This isn't going to excuse you. You have to be smaller than something if you're going to hide behind it. Don't be a hypocrite yourself. Be what you are. And the Lord would like you to be a cloud filled with water. He would like you to be a refreshment to others. And then they are called trees that whose fruit withereth, that is, autumnal trees, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Works? Oh, yes. Lots of works, but no fruit. Anybody can do good works, but only a Christian can produce fruit. And that fruit is produced, according to Galatians chapter 5, by the Holy Spirit living within us. The fruit of the Spirit is all of these things, which really means Christ-likeness. You will only be like the Lord Jesus as the Holy Spirit works within you. And if you've never been born again, you do not have His Holy Spirit. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And then they are called raging waves of the sea, in verse 13, foaming out their own shame. Now you know that the sea cannot rest. Isaiah 57 has something to say about this. The last two verses of that chapter tell us the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. A raging wave of the sea foaming out his own shame. You know, we talk about whatever is on our hearts, whatever is in our minds. All you have to do is listen to an unsaved person a few minutes, and you'll know that he's just foaming out his own shame. The word here is in the plural, really, foaming out their own shames, because their shames are different. Perhaps you would be ashamed to be the kind of a person another sinner is, and yet you too are without rest, a raging wave of the sea. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the last one is in verse 13, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now when God put into the universe the planets and the stars, he put them in their orbits. But you've seen shooting stars. You've seen meteorites. They're not in orbit. They're just plunging. And they plunge into the atmosphere of this world, and they go out in a flash. And God says that to these people who wander out of their place, who are unwilling to be guided by God, they're unwilling to allow God to control their lives, they're unwilling to receive Christ as Savior and Lord, for them is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now, if you found yourself to be a dreamer, awaken. Let the Lord Jesus give you light and life. If you have to acknowledge that you're a brute beast, remember the Lord can turn you by His Spirit through His grace into a Christ-like Son of God. Isn't this wonderful that God can take people who are more like beasts than men and make them more like God than men? Spots can be turned into adornment. Waterless clouds can be turned into refreshment and refreshing hearers of the water of life. When you hear the word of God yourself, you pass it on to another one and you refresh somebody else. I hope I'm able to give you a little of the water of life in these broadcasts. And then fruitless trees can be turned into fruit-bearing branches in the true vine, the 15th chapter of John says. If you're joined to the Lord Jesus, you can bring forth fruit that will please God and that will refresh men. And raging waves of the sea can be turned into restful and patient believers. And wandering stars can get into orbit. We can become obedient light bearers, like the suns and the stars and the planets, all in their place, obeying the Lord who put them there and who wants to govern them, who does govern them, who would like to govern you. So we have this sevenfold description of what sin has done to the human race. And in contrast to this, we've been thinking about what God could do to make you what you ought to be. Now the question is, are you willing to receive Christ as your Savior? Are you willing to allow the Holy Spirit to make of you what God would like to make of you? And if you are a believer, are you willing to be subject to Him? Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. It rebukes us. Help us to accept it. Change those who need to be changed. Save the lost. Revive and restore and help Thy children. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.